burns when I peep.
Coming up on TMS, Scott spends some time with the rich old people.
Which state in the Union is the nerdiest?
Diggers found all those old Atari cartridges in the desert.
Ooh, a man lost at sea is pretty sure he didn't eat the guy that he was traveling with.
Spider-Man enjoying some nice early reviews so far.
Beyoncé is the most influential person in the world.
Where the hell am I? Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Red Lobster presents new seafood trios.
1, 2, 3, your favorites from the sea.
6 new seafood trios, all irresistible. And with half of them priced at $6.95, it's just
1, 2, 3.
Like broiled Boston bluefish, succulent scallops, and sizzling shrimp scampi in one delicious dish. And even a kids trio at $1.95.
1, 2, 3, Red Lobster.
New seafood trios, only for a few weeks, only at Red Lobster.
And I believe our little interview is now over, yes?
This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. And hello. And welcome to The Morning Stream. It's TMS. It's The Morning Stream. Monday, April 28th, 2014, 8.02 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
I'm grouchy this
morning. 3 days left in this month.
What? Hold on.
Yeah.
Check your calendars. Yeah, it is the 28th. That means that we are... Wow.
Yeah.
May is starting?
May 1st.
What?
Yes.
What?
I know. I know. It's like... breakneck pace making its way towards the thing called Nerdtacular.
Yeah, it feels like it. I feel like I don't have any time left to get everything done.
I know.
But
tell me about it.
There is time. So we're going to make it work and it's going to be rad.
Oh, yeah.
And you can still get tickets if you haven't got them already and you really like frog pants. I mean, here's another thing I want to say to people about Nerdtacular that we don't say very often because it's in the news today. Okay. There's a big article posted on the time.com blog. You know, Time Magazine, venerable American publication.
Time, it's one of the more, they've got a man every year. Mm-hmm. It's a man.
They
or
have
maybe
a man
a
or a thing. Uh-huh. Sometimes
a
lady,
or
sure.
Or a Hitler.
Or a Hitler.
Maybe that Hitler's man of the year.
He was 1 year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It wasn't recent, though. I think it was back in the day. So anyway, they did an article about the nerdiest states in the country. And... Utah's listed as the nerdiest state.
What?
Really? Yeah, and they've attributed that. Here, I'm going to bring it up here real quick.
Yeah.
Let me give you the criteria here. And by the way, Colorado just is in very deep nerd heaven as well. The least nerdy states, nerd hell is the South.
Oh, I can't. We got to discuss the criteria they use because I don't know.
Well, here's what it is. There's a lot to consider, they say. Will the locals trade Pokemon cards with you? Will they be mocked for LARPing in the park? Will you meet others who enjoy dressing up like Star Wars characters? For those who harbor interests considered nerdy or geekish, not all the states are created equal. A stately crunch the numbers to determine which U.S. states have the most nerds per capita. To do this, they analyzed Facebook data for every U.S. state and the District of Columbia to determine the percentage of users who listed 12 criteria as interests, and here they are. Star Trek The Next Generation, cosplay, Harry Potter, Star Wars, anime movies, Dungeons and Dragons, LARPing, Doctor Who, fantasy literature, or lit, Lord of the Rings, Magic the Gathering, and comic books. Those are the 12 criteria. And
so if you put those, if you have those on your Facebook as a like, as something that you, or as one of your interests.
Yeah. It's a pretty good pool of, I mean, as arbitrary as it may seem, everybody's got a Facebook account. It's a pretty big pool to draw data from. So I actually think there's something to that part of it. Whether or not these are indicators of anything is a question. But the least or the most nerdy states, number one, Utah. Number two, Alaska. Then we go down the list. 3, Wyoming. 4, Idaho. 5, Colorado.
Woohoo!
Yeah, yeah. 6, Washington. 7, Kentucky. 8, Oregon. 9, New Mexico. 10, West Virginia. It's weird. 11, India. 12, Indiana. Very nerdy here. Very, very nerdy. 12.
My name is Deborah.
12, Kansas. 13, Maine. 14, Wisconsin. So Then they get a little less nerdy after that, and then the least nerdy is Washington, D.C. Mississippi is second to last, and they're always second to last in everything. Then Jersey, and it works its way up. So,
I'm surprised Georgia, though. See, Georgia is 48th, which seems really, really odd to me with how huge Dragon Con is. And I know that Dragon Con pulls a lot of people in from other states, but it's rooted there, you know, and there's a lot of people who live there who go to that thing.
Well, what if it's Atlanta only, though? You know what I mean? Like, what if it's just
I see you're saying, like, you know,
really highly concentrated, right?
Yeah. Macon. Not a lot of Macon nerds.
Because the Utah thing's easy to do because it's so spread across the entire valley, and I could see how that would be because there aren't giant barriers of like city culture that separate the different cities in the state of Utah. So I can kind of see how that works there.
Holy cow. What? Did you read? So you go below that list.
Yeah, they mentioned Nerdtacular. That's the point.
They mentioned Nerdtacular. Holy cow.
That's what I was getting at. So here under Utah, they said, they're blah, blah, blah. They say a bunch of stuff and they say, here are the points. Here are the high points that helped the list or whatever. Captain Picard was at Salt Lake City Comic Con fan experience this year. Okay. They were a lot more than that. Shatner was there. Like, it was a huge deal. So whatever. They get that in San Diego. So I don't know why that's a big deal. Anyway, SLC Nerd is a community festival event celebrating all that is geeky and nerdy in Utah. I have no idea what that is. I haven't been there. The Nerd Store offers comics, gaming cards, and more. I don't know what that is. And then they list, enjoy the annual event Nerdtacular, which is nerdtastic, as well as FantasyCon, which is fantastic. Now, here's the funny thing. I think they're just going on dates because Nerdtacular and FantasyCon are the same weekend. FantasyCon has never happened before. It's brand freaking new. Oh, really? It still hasn't happened yet.
And I question whether or not Ryan Nickum.
Yeah.
Who posted this has ever attended the Nerdtastic event called Nerdtacular.
Right. There's other articles posted where they reference Nerdtacular again, and they say it's a nerdy movie festival. So I think they heard about FilmSack and they just assumed that was what it was.
Well, it used to be. I mean, that, you know, it used to be centered on a movie.
Oh,
right?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah. But the first few years,
festival,
it was
like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know that anyone's doing any proper reporting here.
It's a festival featuring one movie.
And now it's a festival featuring one panel, where three or four people get up on stage and make fun of it. It's an odd thing to pull out.
Right.
Anyway.
Now, I would definitely support and say this list does have a lot of merit. It has a lot of stuff that support it and their methodology. Mm-hmm. However, I think that they're, you know, basically if you're on Facebook, there's an index likelihood. Now, I'm not saying all Facebook users are going to have nerdy interests, but you're more inclined to like things that are nerdy. You're more inclined to, because you've got an interest in Facebook. You probably have a computer, probably.
Sure.
And you probably, you know, I mean, there's a.
That is no longer the plaything of nerds. I mean, my mom. Sure. My mom uses it, and she is not a nerd.
Right.
And she is in her 70s.
There's a slight, like, more likelihood that if you're on Facebook, then it probably improves your chances of following something nerdy.
That's fair to say. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like you're, yes.
Maybe, you know, maybe 5%, a 5% bigger chance.
Yeah.
I'm with you. There's, you know,
either way, there's
a
boost there. I mean, I've got
my friends list.
I've got old jock friends who are on Facebook and, you know, list Captain America 2 as their favorite movie of all time, even though they gave me a Snuggie in high school because I liked Captain America in high school. It's all coming back to pay.
Nice, nice.
Karma, man. Karma.
But you don't hold any, no grudge.
No. So
it's
basically what
California,
I'm saying.
California, though, again, you know, it's California's so low on the list, 34, yet Silicon Valley's there, San Francisco, and these I think would be.
I think it's just the size and the demographics are so, you know, like how many of those are, I don't know, how many, like you got to account for things like how many of those are immigrants from Mexico who honestly have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Sure.
Because they don't care about that. They care about, you know, coming here, getting some jobs, getting citizenship and starting a life. They're not worried about whether, Shatner showed up.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
No, no, I'm with you. I think it'd be interesting to see how the data would change if it were done by city and not by
Yeah,
state.
That would totally change, I guarantee
because
it.
Because then I think you would see San Jose and San Francisco up in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'd see like Atlanta at number one. You'd see
right, exactly.
Austin at number three or, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I guarantee you're right. If they could do that, if they did it by city, not by state, mm-hmm. that would be a mm-hmm. much, much more, maybe more interesting.
It seems like they
list.
Could. They've got the data. If they can say what state somebody's in, certainly they can see what city they're into and kind of provide another filter. Interesting, but, though. This is really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Some of the follow-up data is a little fishy. Nerdacular, which is nerdtastic, they said. Ah, thanks. Anyway.
Wow, I've never looked at this estately, which seems to have nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
Mm.
So they're crunching the numbers on nerdiest places to live.
Yeah.
But it's really like a real estate site.
Yeah. It's, maybe they're just trying to sell us houses. This is all just a coy or a ploy.
It totally
a coy,
is.
It's a coy and a ploy.
It's a coy.
Yeah,
a coy
it is.
Ploy.
Estately is real estate.
Right.
Okay. That's
it's like, I can look and see all the houses in this immediate area that are for sale and what they're charging. Look at that.
Move here because you're a nerd.
Right.
And there's great houses in New Mexico. I'm surprised Arizona's that low on the list. Yeah, there's some. Do this by city, things change.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. Although Mississippi, you're screwed either way. All right.
Oh, Sales Geek apparently has been yelling for the last 3 or 4 minutes. It's a real estate blog.
Oh, he has been yelling that? All right.
Oh, whatever.
He liked that we were mentioned in there. He thought that was cool.
Yeah. He's up, David Michael, for Pete's sake.
But here's the deal. Nerdacular, which they don't mention, is directly focused on you, dear listener, mm-hmm. the kind of people who are interested in this little community we've built, and it's kind of a special, close-knit thing. It isn't open to, like, hey, everybody, let's fill up giant venues full of strangers. That's not how we do it. It's all about, let's all be friends. Let's cap the tickets at a reasonable amount. Let's go to a place that isn't so crazy you can't spend personal time with everybody. So that's what this is. It's more than just a con. So come and be there. Nerdtacular.com. Tickets available now. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Wendy,
yes.
Wendy had her her auction over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Right. The Rape Recovery.
Yeah. Salt Lake City Rape Recovery Center.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal for her. She's on the board. She's always donating tons of time and effort and stuff to help with that thing. And it went well. And Carter's artwork, once again, made the most money out of all of us. And all of it went to the charity. And I auctioned some prints. My other daughter did some, Taylor did some photography. And that all got auctioned off. So it was nice to be able to give back a little bit and do that. And we're hanging out. And there's food. And there's all this stuff, right? Good times. Everyone dressed up. Here's the problem.
Okay.
It's full of, and this is good because they have expendable income. But it's full of this very specific class of rich people that I'm about to describe to you. They are in their 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They all are dressing and tanning and plastic surgering to look like they're in their 20s.
Oh, geez.
But
okay.
They're failing at it. Old dudes in leather jackets. Like just a giant midlife crisis happening everywhere you look. Every 5 feet.
Yeah.
And I can't deal with that very well. Like, now it's not everybody, okay? Keep in mind, there are plenty of people there that are just really nice, grounded.
Sure.
Everything's fine. No pretense. They're just there to support a positive cause. And that's great. But there's some of these guys that roll up on their Harley, made a bunch of money in the dot-com boom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking like orange skin, you know, like the weirdest fake tan.
Red spray tan.
Yep. Uh-huh. 62-year-old guy in there who, I'm not kidding you, looked at him. He had I may be end up one of these one day, but he had a colostomy bag. You can see it through his shirt. But he's got on one arm this girl who was probably 19 or 20 at the most.
Oh, wow.
Total hottie, wearing the skimpiest clothes you've ever seen. Hanging on the arm of this extremely old man. And my wife
goes... The non-colostomy bag side, right?
Yes.
She
doesn't want
to... Colostomy bag hanging off one arm.
I only ask one thing. Not to be on the poo-poo side. Anyway, so she's hanging on the other side, and she's... I thought, well, I'm like, oh, look at this. And Kim goes, now, hold on. It could be his daughter or something.
Sure.
I said, oh, all right. But then halfway through the night, he's like just making out with her. Just like just macking on her.
Still could be a daughter.
I guess. Still. I guess there's still some hope. But anyway.
Oh,
but this is all over the place everywhere. And nobody wants to. If you get bumped into somebody, they're acting like they own the space. And what did you just do? You know?
Oh, jeez.
I could not be more opposite of this. I've never, ever been able to kind of maintain myself very well when I'm surrounded by pretentiousness. I can't do it. Yeah. And when it's just for show and for, you know.
Please tell me there was somebody there who talked like Thurston Howell.
Probably. I mean, I didn't.
Oh, yes. So, can you tell me where the hors d'oeuvres are?
Probably. I mean, and there was just so, and people were just kind of turning their nose up to certain of the food items and just acting like life is so hard for them. And I just kind of wanted to run away. I hate it. I hate that kind of stuff. Now, it's good because they all had a bunch of money and they like to be seen throwing their money around. They like to be seen, you know, offering $1,000 for a painting and doing it in public with their big hand up.
Yes, I believe I'll go ahead and put my hat in the ring on that painting
that they probably could care less about. But it's all about the fact that there's 300 of their peers staring at him and he's the guy that has the high bid. You know what I mean?
Right.
That whole thing, dude, I can't do it. I feel like I'm in the wrong planet when I'm around that.
You know what, though? Be happy that you can separate yourself and recognize that, because they probably don't see as big a, you know, or if they do, they see it as like a, well, they wish, you know, this guy here wishes that he were like us.
Yeah. Like, he also wishes he had a hair weave implanted in the top of his head and
right.
Rolled around in a, you know, guys pulling up in their little, oh, that was the best. There was a guy who was probably 70-something years old, pulled up in a custom tweaked out, what's the car they drove in the Italian Job? Little bitty ones.
Yeah,
the Mini.
Mini Coopers. Yeah.
Yeah, a Mini Cooper. Guy pulls up in a Mini Cooper, and that guy had two ladies with him. So him and a lady on each side that were all younger than him.
I ain't got room for a colostomy bag. Yeah. I got two ladies.
And it was just, I don't know, man. I just spent most of my time in, you know, hanging out with my kids and talking to Wendy. And that's the funny thing is Wendy's nothing like that at all.
Of course,
but
of
she
course.
Has to dress up and hobnob with him because she is just milking him for money because her goals are clear.
Yeah.
I want to make money for rape recovery, period.
Right.
And so whatever that takes, and that's all she would focus on. And I kept trying to be like her, but, you know, and sort of ignore it. But it's so hard for me. Just, I don't know why I struggle with it. And it is, I don't have anything wrong. I have nothing, no problems with somebody having money, even if they inherited it, never worked for any of it. Fine. Everybody have what they got. I don't have a problem with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to fool me. I know that you're 65 and that tan is fake.
No, I'm young. I've got two young ladies I've brought. Look at my skin. It's a healthy
glow.
Cheeto-colored glow.
It's a healthy Cheeto
just
glow.
Just like other 20-year-olds my age.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that I believe. And when, you know, just I know what's happening. I'm not an idiot. That's all. I guess that's where my problem is that they think they're fooling me, but I'm not fooled. Mm-hmm. I know what's happening. Embrace it. Be an old rich fart. Who cares? Nobody
Scott,
cares.
You know, we'll never be royals.
That's right. We're never going to. How was the other line? I can't even remember.
Sipping Cristal
on the dude thing,
destroying the hotel room, blah blah blah.
Barbs, stuff. I don't know.
It don't run in our blood.
No, that's right. It doesn't run in our blood. Okay. Well, anyway, that happened. Tell me about this DJ class.
Yeah. So a year ago, April.
Let's
go back to April 2013.
All right.
Brian sees a deal on Amazon Local.
Oh,
for
no.
a one-day DJ class.
Okay.
And he says, oh, you know, Tristan has talked about wanting to learn how to DJ. I wouldn't mind. You know, I've got this little Pioneer DDJ WeGo unit, USB controller thing that I know how to use maybe four of the buttons on it. I picked it up basically to do Coverville because it works with the software, the DJing software that I use for Coverville.
Right.
But
does it have a turntable on it? So you can like that.
It's got two, but not, you know, like the little miniature spinny disc things.
Does it have two turntables and a microphone?
Does not have the microphone.
Okay.
I have to plug that in separately.
Right.
Sold separately.
Two turntables and a microphone. Anyway.
So decided, you know what, I'll sign Tristan and I up for this. And I picked up a couple of those Amazon local deals and thought about it over, you know, in the last year. It's come up like, oh, yeah, we need to schedule that. Oh, yeah, I need to find out when classes are. We need to book that thing. Oh, we need to do this. Well, finally, I get a warning from Amazon saying your promotional value for your Amazon local purchase of DJ class is about to expire. You need to use this. So last week, called him up and said, hey, you know, when is the next class available for this that we can jump into? And he says, oh, okay, I'll give you a call back. We might have a couple openings for one this weekend. Calls me Saturday morning, says, I got two slots in today's class if you want to jump in. I'm like, yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Wake the boy up at 10 o'clock.
Is it a group class? It's not a one-on-one training.
It's a group class. Right. Yeah. So wake the boy up. We head on down there. And so we walk in, it's this classroom. They've got about six workstations, and each workstation has an iMac, a big DJ controller unit, a big Traktor DJ control unit, an actual Technics belt drive turntable, one of those old, you know, the ubiquitous one that you see everywhere, the silver one with the, basically when you think of 90s DJing turntable, that's the one you visualize.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then a CDJ unit that, you know, if you brought a thumb drive with your music or a CD or something like that, then they use this for all their classes. So for us, we just use the middle unit and the iMac, but other people coming in would use the turntable and the CDJ unit and everything. So we basically spent the day there learning how to do beat matching, learning how to do phrasing. You know, it's a music library that I, if somebody were to say, hey, Brian, could you DJ our event? We want to have like house music and trance and electro and this and that, dubstep, trap music. I wouldn't be able to do it. It'd be like, all right, how about something from Blur?
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll play something by Suede and the Manic Street Preachers, stuff like that.
Yep.
So I need to really flesh out my library with a bunch of these kind of songs. But getting to use their setups and their playlist, it's like, oh, I totally see how this works. And I see how, you know, you sync up the 32. The 32 bar phrasing, and you have this come in right here, and then as that one comes out, this one comes in, and it sounds seamless and it goes perfectly together. So you know, and of course the whole thing is really not because they want to teach you how to do this, it's because they want to give you this little taste so that you'll sign up for the $400 class that they also offer.
Oh no. So this is like timeshare.
Almost like a timeshare kind of thing. Although, you know what, I learned enough in a few hours at this class that I could kind of pick up a good 60-70% of the rest of it just by doing it and learning it. And now that I know the majority of what these buttons do, I can say, okay, let's focus on this one. What does this one right here do? Oh, okay, that does, you know, a 32-bar loop or whatever. But man, it was actually a lot of fun. And Tristan and I had a blast doing it together. It was a good bonding experience. We were talking about listening to music the whole way home, saying, oh yeah, here, this one would go right, you know, perfectly well into this other song. But, so now, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to hit the clubs, Scott. And,
let's get this, let's make it happen, man.
Yeah.
It's the next big step. It's a big Brian's what's your stage DJ name?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if like I'm, you know, DJ Bibbity or something like that, or
DJ Bibbity is pretty good. That's pretty good.
DJ man,
yeah, that's even better. All right, well, I would go to a club that was DJ'd by you.
Sure. DJ Excelsior, there you go. DJ Ibbotson, somebody suggests.
DJ Ibbotson, that's not bad either.
Nice.
Very nice. Well, that's cool.
It was a really good time. And I encourage anyone who's even got a passing interest to keep an eye out for something like that and try it out. Because it's a lot more fun than I was expecting it to be. Kind of cool. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, it's better than a kick in the crotch.
Way better.
That's how I look at things. Which ones are better than a kick in the crotch?
And either one will get a round of applause from the audience. So.
Yeah, either way. Either way, you win. All right. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
FilmSack, the podcast for movie lovers and haters. This week, grab a large baked potato and watch Death Race 2000. Subscribe at FilmSack.com.
Ooh, big baked potato. Mmm.
Remember when Sylvester Stallone said that?
He did. He that
like,
movie
looked like a large baked potato.
That movie is that movie is not good.
You know what? Compare it to Nothing But Trouble.
It's better than Nothing But Trouble, but it's better in a way that's.
Yeah,
it's see, like why Troll 2 is good in the same
right,
vein.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like no one would ever argue that it's actually good. It's right. just good for what we do.
It had no potential, and it lived up to that potential. Whereas Nothing But Trouble had this pedigree of all these great comedians and failed.
Son, I know that you won't be able to accomplish anything, and I hope one day you live up to that potential.
I like it.
Oh, holy cow. I think Ironic Name has my perfect DJ name. DJ Thick and Liquid.
That's pretty good. DJ T.
And he spells it with a three. And
you could do it short. Oh, he put the, oh, that's perfect. He put like silent X's in there and all kinds of stuff. That's great.
Exactly.
Nicely yes. done. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
Oh, hi, man. How was your weekend, Daryl?
It was good.
Was it filled with excitement, joy?
Adventure?
Rabble-rousing? What'd you do?
All that, yeah.
Okay.
Did you set a course for adventure?
Warp Factor, Daryl. Yeah, that's great. Well, here you are. Here you are to do another edition of what we like to refer to lovingly as Stump a Trek Nerd. It's where you answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. We ask the question, you answer, and if you get it right, you win nothing except your pride.
But if you get it wrong, you lose nothing, too.
Yeah,
so,
good point. Nicely said, because that's important. Everybody loses. What? I don't know. All right, here we go. So, Daryl, we're going to ask you this question. It is Next Generation episode related, which is fabulous. So here it is. In the Next Generation episode, Samaritan Snare.
Ah, yes.
Did you just watch this?
No, but it's Packlids.
Oh, hey. We make this ship go.
Make it go. You are smart.
A Packlid ship asks the Enterprise for help. They need help to make it go. What is the name of the Packlid ship? Is it
a Mondor?
Oh, well, hold on now.
Oh, wait. I should. No, no. We need suspense.
Yeah, we need
know.
Suspense.
You better tell me.
Is it A, the Mondor? B, the Kraton? C, the Celtris? Or D, the Batris? The Batris. So it's Mondor, Kraton, Celtris, the Batris. You sound like you might know something, so we're going to jump right over here to do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to eat something from the Finnish group, and I'm going to pick, because I haven't picked in a while.
Yep.
And I'm going to go, let's get these weird cookie things out of the way.
Really?
Yeah. These are called sour cream rye crisps. Which, look, they look like sugar cookie things, but I think they're not going to be.
Yeah, sour cream and onion.
Onion?
Well, you have the actual bag, right,
I have
Brian?
The actual bag. Oh. So these are 100% Ruislastu, R-U-I-S-L-A-S-T-U, Finska rag chips. Rag chips.
Finska? Is that what you said, Finska?
Yeah.
Okay.
Finska, F-I-N-S-K-A.
Oh, Finska.
Finska.
They said Finska.
Sour cream and onion rag chips.
All right.
They're called rag chips.
All right. That old time rag chip. All right, here we go. We're going to take a bite.
Ooh. They look kind of cratery on the inside.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Yeah.
On the underside.
They're like
smell?
A...
Onion-y.
Oh, I'm afraid to smell them.
They smell like your kid after he ate too many bugles, like a whole bag of bugles is what this smells like.
Yeah.
Oof. All right, here we go.
I'm scared.
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, it's crunchy.
The flavor's all right, but I feel like it's going to clean me out. I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
It's got a good flavor, yeah. I mean, you can put sour cream and onion on anything and make it taste
it. Tastes exactly like what its name is.
All right.
Egg chip?
Here's a what if for you. Would you rather... Yeah, here you go. I got one for you. Take the best potato chip structure and type you've ever eaten, okay? Just a standard-ass chip, but a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Dip that in horse urine. Okay, so now it's horse urine flavored. Now that's choice A that you have to eat. Choice B is Quentin Tarantino's big toe dipped in sour cream and onion. And you got to suck that toe or you got to eat that chip. Which way do you go? Yeah, which way do you go? Which way are you going to eat?
Will he have cleaned his feet beforehand? Like,
yeah,
is it a,
yeah,
you know,
I would totally clean it beforehand. Yeah. I don't know why he's Jay Leno, but anyway.
Did you see this? Did you see,
you see this? You hear about this?
You seen that, Victor?
I just because of the horse urine, I have to go with the Tarantino.
Oh, the Tarantino toe.
They're Tarantino. Tarantino
toe. Toe and Nino. All right. I think I would probably do the same. I mean, I would hate doing it, and I would wish I was dead, but I would still do that over the chip with the horse urine on it.
Daryl, Tarantino's feet are freaking immaculate, I'll bet.
One would hope.
Who goes first, though? Who's the last one to suck the toe?
Well, he would. In theory, we would get a new pea chip and a new soaked toe each time.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? We'd each get
the
choice.
Three of us, and there's only two toes.
Yeah,
so.
That's the only way Tarantino would be involved. He's like, oh, there's three chances. I'll suck my toe. Sweet. That's what he'd say. All right, Daryl, back to the point here. Oh, and that was fine. I don't think I'd eat a bag of these, but I think they would. Yeah,
they're not as bad as they look. They look worse than they are.
I'm not a big rye guy. I like a good rye bread, like a good Reuben style rye kind of thing. But
rye crackers, I mean, they are usually like they're usually this hard to chew through, hard to bite through.
It's
like
it's for old people trying to get regular. That's what these are, and we are not yet those guys. So, Daryl, why don't you now shower us with?
Horse pee.
No, with a trivia. Give us some trivia. Or no,
I'll
not
give
trivia.
Give
us a birthday is what I meant. Give us a birthday.
Yeah. I'll give you Richard. Oh, why don't I have a... I don't know how old he is. Well, he's having a birthday. He's Richard Arnold. He used to approve and reject merchandise tie-ins for Gene Roddenberry and was Paramount's resident Trek expert through 1991. He played a crewman in the motion picture, you know, when they're all in that... in the hangar deck, they're all in there.
Kirk was
one of
buttering
them
up. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he played Romulan in the 2009 movie.
Today.
He's 59. Okay.
Okay. Right. Actually, 60 because he was born 1954.
Oh yeah, so it would be.
That would be 60.
Yeah, it would be 60. You're right. Wow, that's a hell of a deal. Did he say? Do we have any indication of what merchandise he rejected? I'm always curious about that. Like, I've seen lists of Star Wars stuff that never made the cut, which is fascinating. Why those toys or whatever didn't make it? I'd love to know what Star Trek memorabilia never made it to the store.
Yeah.
Someone should track that down. Well, good. Well, there you go. Happy birthday to that guy. 60 is a good old ripe old age.
And not even that old.
It's not even that old. It's the new 50, really.
By the new Star Trek official camel toe leotard. Yes. As seen on the episode with Crusher and Troy.
Is that a little built-in camel toe? Is that the idea?
Yeah, built-in.
Like a little rubber thing in there? Okay. So, Daryl, back to your question. The Mondor, the Kraton, the Celtris, and the Batris. Pretty sure you know what this one is. Do you want to confirm?
Kraton... Celtris and Batris. Batris, that was like on Batman, wasn't it?
I don't know. No, was it? I don't know.
A buttress is for butts and a batris is for bats. I don't know.
I don't know what a buttress is. I don't think it's for butts, though. What is a buttress? Hold on.
Yeah, what is it? I don't.
Buttress. Okay, here we go. What
isn't
is a buttress?
Like a wall or something?
A buttress is a protecting support of stone or brick built against a wall.
Okay, yeah.
Or source of defense of or support. It appears here to have nothing to do with the butt.
No.
So Daryl's insinuation is wrong. And Batris, I know Batris is another word. B-A-T-R. What is a Batris?
I have never heard of a Batris.
There is no such thing.
For sleeping bats.
For sleeping bats, that's it. A Batris.
It was a Talarian freighter that was in service in the mid-24th century.
All right. Brilliant. Was it really?
So there is there really was a Batris in
Star Trek. Oh, so you didn't make this up. These are actual things. Well, now we know it wasn't D. So
now he's starting to give me answers.
So I don't think that's helping him or hurting him in any way.
I think you're probably right.
I think I would not have said it if I thought it was even in contention.
So you still say Mondor then?
Yeah, let's play the clip.
Is it Mondor?
Congratulations! You're a winner!
Creating suspense where there is none. Daryl got it right. It is the Mondor. Geordi beams over to help them fix it and gets kidnapped for his efforts. Here's a clip of Riker talking to the pack lids on this big screen.
I'm First Officer William Riker of the USS Enterprise. We're responding to your distress signal.
Uh-huh.
What is your problem?
We are far from home.
Aren't we all? But you sent out a Mayday?
Uh-huh.
Do you need help?
We are pack lids. Our ship is the Mondor. It is broken.
What brings you so far from home?
We look for things.
What were you looking for?
Things we need.
Can you be more specific?
Things that make us go.
Dude, what a weird idea that is to have him on there.
Oh, it's great, though.
It really is great, like, but...
Idiot race.
It's it's so dumb. I mean, how would they even know how to make their ship in the first place? You think about that for a minute. If they're this useless and this dumb...
They found it somewhere. Okay. And just started going.
All right. That just seems weird to me.
They need to be in the Federation, and we need a pack-led crewman on the next Star Trek.
I'm with you. What would they do, though? What would they be for? Like, hey, Truman Zip-Zap, we need to get to the planet Ding-Dong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the toilet is plugged.
I need it to go. Wesley threw up in 10-forward again. Get a pack-led in here to clean this up.
Get a pack-led. They would become such secondhand citizens. This is a terrible idea.
We need a captain.
As a pack lid?
Never does anything. He just says, oh, we're at the planet now. We have to get there.
Oh, that's great. I would love a pack lid captain.
Let's go fast. Engage.
That would really be a bit of a shark jump for Star Trek, I'm afraid.
There are four lights.
The lights are bright.
A couple of lights. Quit whipping me. It hurts.
Hold on, I lost count again.
That's pretty good. Daryl's a Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek and at the Grumpy Cast. Or no, Grumpy Show. The Grumpy Men. What is it?
Grumpy Cast.
Grumpy Cast. I got it right the first time. Grumpy Cast. It's another podcast he does. They're with him and Hammond, and they're grumpy, and they talk about stuff on their show. So go check that out. All right, Daryl, why don't you do a little game show of your own here? What do you got?
Okay. Is this a Star Trek food or an actual soup?
We have a theme for you. How about this one? A packlid? No. Sorry. A Star Trek thing or an actual soup?
Star Trek food or actual soup? Yes.
Got it.
Red Bat.
Didn't he come from when the Joker accidentally mixed something with the. There's always some offshoot like that.
Right, exactly. My leaning is towards actual food, but I really could go either way on this one.
I'm going to say actual food. Actual soup.
All right.
Okay. It is an Andorian food.
Oh, that's not actual at all. That's Star Trek related.
It's inactual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Daryl, you fooled us once again. Fool us once. Shame on you. How's it go?
We're way worse at this than the Pokemon.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the brand new Diablo show, hosted by Scott and filled with all things Diablo. Episode 1 is up and available now. Check out frogpants.com/Diablo and subscribe.
Posted every Saturday.
Nice.
Check that out. 12 episodes, man. Season. Woo! Oh.
Season. Smart way to do it.
I think that's the new, it's my new vibe, except for the show. This one's infinite, but yeah, it's good to do that.
One big, long ass season.
Yeah. And even if it's 100 seasons, mm-hmm. you still have that. One day there'll be a final season, you know, and that'll
right.
be good.
Right.
Diggers find, I don't know why I emphasize diggers. Why would I do that? Diggers find Atari's ET games in the landfill that everybody thought existed, but weren't sure.
Right.
They found them. So this is an old urban legend that I always assumed was true, honestly. I didn't really ever question it. And I think Snopes had always confirmed it, that it was true.
I never looked at Snopes. I always thought it was true up until a couple of years ago when I thought I saw something on Gizmodo or in Engadget or something that says, no, there's no Atari cartridges buried in the New Mexico desert.
Oh, I didn't know that. So some people have been making claims against it.
Somebody tried to debunk it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Snopes had always said yes, and I'd always just assumed, yeah, that made sense. Mm-hmm. I never questioned it. So when they found it, I guess I was less surprised. But it's all true. They put it to rest Saturday when workers for a documentary film production company, which I'm stoked for the actual documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Recovered E.T. Atari game cartridges from a heap of garbage buried deep in the New Mexico desert. The Atari grave was, until that moment, a highly debated tale among gaming enthusiasts and other self-described geeks of 30 years, or for over 30 years, rather. The story claimed that in its death throes, the video game company sent a dozen truckloads of cartridges of what many called the worst video game ever to be forever hidden in a concrete-covered landfill in the southeastern New Mexico desert. So the search for the cartridges of a game that contributed to the demise of Atari will be featured in this upcoming documentary about the biggest video game company of the early 80s, that being Atari. So here's the thing. I'm a little surprised somebody hasn't tried before now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's the part that gets me. It's not so much that the legend turned out to be true. It's that it took you 30 years to go see. Or right. Did nobody at Atari go, yeah, I actually drove that truck. Or, yeah, I gave the order to do it. Or,
right.
Or whatever.
No, and you don't know if, you know, it's probably not on, well, I don't know. I mean, is it on private land or is it on open space in New Mexico desert?
That's a good question.
So that could be part of it. And how you know, if it's a concrete covered landfill, then you're going to need, you know, they had to use high-end equipment. They had to use actual construction equipment and backhoes and stuff like that, as opposed to a couple nerds in a Winnebago driving out there with shovels.
Yeah. Well, and the one part of this that turned out not to be the case still is that there were millions of cartridges.
Mm.
There were never millions. It was like hundreds. Mm-hmm. Other than that, though.
Hey, hundreds is good.
Yep. I'm just reading through the Snopes article. Yeah, and they've got the update with the video where they found them and stuff. Anyway.
Can't wait to see that documentary, man. That's going to be awesome.
I want one of the cartridges so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool would it be to have one of those? I'm guessing really cool. You're going to start seeing some of those. I'm sure some are going to leak out on eBay and you're going to see them go for thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's my expectation there.
Yeah.
You ever been lost at sea? That ever been a thing someone
That's
could say about you?
Never been a problem for me, no.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. Me neither. But this guy, we'll call him Man.
Man.
What's man's power?
He does all the things. He's man. Weaknesses are woman. Excelsior.
Nice. Nicely done. Man lost at sea for over 14 months, denies eating his shipmate. Jose Salvador Alvarez-Gurriaga. Think I got that last name right?
Yeah, that's it. I think it's Squeery.
Is it Squeery?
Squeery.
Something like that. Squeery. who was rescued in January after 14 months adrift at sea, insists there is no truth to the allegations that he ate his shipmate, Ezequiel Cordoba, to survive. Ezequiel Cordoba.
Right.
That's an awesome name.
When asked where his shipmate was,
yeah,
he just shrugs his shoulders. I don't know
where he went. Whatever happened to Cordoba? That was terrible. The guy died, I guess. I shouldn't make fun of him yet.
Well,
not enough time has passed. Yeah, you know, he just died. Sorry, I'm still licking my wounds after I got called out today. I basically got called out on Twitter because I said Patrick Beja, good friend Patrick Beja, said on Twitter he's been bedridden for a couple of days.
Oh, no.
Hasn't been feeling well. So I typed back. I said, I told you to stop licking homeless people. And then somebody who works with homeless people a lot is all offended at me and mad.
Oh, yeah.
And now here's my problem. It's not so much that, you know, and I apologize to them, and I'm not trying to offend anybody.
Yeah.
And then the butt of the joke weren't homeless people. The butt of the joke is Patrick.
Right, exactly.
So, because that's my goal in life, is to make Patrick the butt of each joke I make. But
well, we all know what he did to the phone system.
Yeah, right. But I get it, especially if you're close to that situation, you can be more sensitive about it or whatever, but if I would have said hobo, would anybody have said anything? No. Even though it's, you know, it's a related
same
field.
Same thing, just it's the funny, it's the comical word that's fallen out of service.
Which always makes me think about humanity and how words are so stupid. Anyway,
right.
Moving on.
Licking tramps.
Yeah, licking tramps. See? A tramp. Ah, you're such a tramp.
Exactly.
You wouldn't say you're such a homeless person.
No.
the lady was never a homeless person, right? The lady was always a tramp.
The lady was always a tramp.
Ezequiel Cordoba was the guy who died. Quote, not for one second did I think of eating Ezequiel. How can they spell it different than
Ezequiel? Yeah.
See what I mean? There are two different ones there. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Isn't that weird? Ezequiel.
Anyway. Spelled with a Q in one place and with a K in another.
Maybe that's his way of lying.
It's a
maybe
clue.
I would never eat Bill. His name was Jeff. No, shut up. It was Bill.
Depends on what your definition of is.
My sister could tell you stories about how he used to make contracts with her when we were young.
Uh-huh.
And I would sign it Scott Jensen.
Just in case.
Just in case I wanted to get out of it. And then I could legally. I don't know who Scott Jensen is. I didn't sign that.
Oh, well
she
done.
She hated it. She was like, you know, 6 years old or something. And I was.
Why is she making contracts with you anyway?
I don't remember. It was always like, what was the deal? Like, I won't eat any of the cool things she got at the store. Like, she'd get
something
really good that I wanted. And I'd say, all right, I'll sign a contract saying I won't. It's Scott Jensen. And then I would go eat one. Say, you signed a contract. I'd say,
it
look.
It will never hold up in court.
Who's this Jensen? Yeah. It was awesome. I used to love doing that. Oh, she hated it. She's told me recently, she's like, you have no idea how that used to make me mad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And among other things, I teased her. I was a, you know, brothers. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do. Exactly.
He says, I would never done it, even if it meant I starved. I would have been on my conscience forever. So where is this guy? Where's the other guy? Well, it goes on.
Yeah.
Alvar Jigarini Screeny. 37, set sail on a small fishing boat near the coastal town of Tondola, Mexico, and Ezequiel Cordoba, whose age was reportedly between 15 and 18. The boat disappeared during bad weather in January. He was found alive on an atoll. What's an atoll? I don't know what that is.
It's like, oh my gosh, you watch Waterworld every year and you don't know what an atoll is?
No, what is that?
It's like that. It's like a man-made island. Like
A little freestanding little...
So that big circular thing that that Dennis Hopper lives on is an atoll.
I love those. No, he lived on a big old... Remember he lived on a big oil barge that had crapped out.
Oh, right. I thought it was... it was the other
barge. But he visited a few of those and then they'd try to sell him dirt in a bottle or whatever.
People are saying actually it's also a sandbar island. I always thought they were man-made. So an island made of coral or a sandbar island. Okay. So I'm mistaken. I thought it was almost always man-made.
It was in the Marshall Islands. This is where they did all those nuke tests I watched in that documentary. Mm-hmm. You had to stay out of that place.
Bikini Atoll. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. I just pictured Dave Attell in a bikini because of you. It's all your fault.
Great.
It was close enough to Atoll.
Bikini Atoll. Sure.
The boat disappeared during bad weather in January. Blah, blah, blah. He was found alive. Okay. He says Cordoba died 16 weeks into the long ordeal because he was unable to stomach the only diet available for the castaways, which is raw fish and animal blood. Well, why would you die? Well, whatever. Hmm. When he was rescued, the corpse was nowhere in sight. Some believe he may have been eaten by the shipmate to survive. He told the Daily Mail he pushed the body overboard days after he died. So there you have it.
Well, it would explain no bones.
Yeah, no bones.
The atoll with them. Yeah. It's weird. The whole thing is...
That's what I used to say about Star Trek The Next Generation. No bones. Harry's is sponsoring the show. We talked about Harry's last week. I have good news to report.
Okay.
I was supposed to tell you about it the day after I did it, and I totally forgot. But I shaved using... That's why I'm still growing back. You can see my full beard isn't back in yet, because it takes me about 2 weeks to get back to where I was. I'm not much of a shaver. I usually just trim, but I thought, well, I want to see how good this razor system is from Harry's. And I tried it, and holy crap, they're great. And just imagine for a guy like me who rarely shaves, how long these blades are going to last him, how much cheaper my shaving life is.
Right.
Because Harry's is taking good care of me.
I like the irony is not lost on me. The company's name is Harry's, and they're...
Mm-hmm. Not me either.
A hair removal product.
I'm sure it's never come up in their offices.
I'm sure
ever.
It has not. Not yes, once. I'm sure it's brand new. Oh, what do you know? I never made that connection before. Brian is a genius.
Yeah. Well, they like to address this idea that too many guys pay too much money for years for overpriced razors. I mean, you go into a store and you want to get a replacement razor for, I don't know, a Fusion or some other Gillette thing, and you're going to pay $4 or $5 per blade, which is ridiculous. The shavers themselves are ridiculously priced. And the alternative is to go with some cheap throwaway razor like Bic disposables, which, you know, I've been hacked by those before. I know how bad those can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now time to get shaving done with the right price in mind. And these guys are here to let you do it. I've got a good deal for you, though. A sweet deal. I got to find the paperwork. Here it is. Check this out. Go to harrys.com, HARRYS.com. Not Harry's like hair, but Harry like a dude. Like the dude's name, Harry, right?
Right.
Harrys.com. Use the offer code MORNINGSTREAM. You'll get $5 off your first purchase. That's Harrys.com with the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. It'll be shipped right to your door. You'll love how it looks, how it feels, and you'll love that close shave at the right price. And again, that's Harrys.com with the offer code MORNINGSTREAM. Do it today. We love these guys. I'm very impressed. Go check them out. All right? All right.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
the TMS t-shirt at slashloot.com. wear us on your torso and win friends. That's slashloot.com.
Hold on. This just in. My wife's here. What's up? Do you need something? Do you want to be on today? That's all right. You come in after Steven. Yay, Kim will be on today to talk about food. Yeah. Nice. Her sister's out of town, but she'll be here all by her lonesome. Oh, I don't have... Is that all hooked up over there? Yeah, we'll hook it up. We got to hook up the headphones. Other than that, you're fine. All right. Hey, look at this. Spider-Man. You might be familiar with Spider-Man. And I'll, can I'll fix all that between or between songs. So, yeah, no worries. Spider-Man early reviews are in. I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just refreshed my page for no reason. Hold on. You hate that.
Oh, no.
I command art it like a big dummy. All right, here we go. Here we go. Opening soon. Mm-hmm. You got your Amazing Spider-Man 2 on May 2nd. That's just in a few days.
Friday, yeah.
So far, 70% in Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty strong. That's 69 reviews is all so far, but 70 is pretty good. Most of them are saying this, like Joe Numerber in New York Daily News says, Andrew Garfield is possibly the best actor ever to star in any Marvel Comics-based flick.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
That's huge. Huge. Like, what about...
Take that, Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Take that, Mark Ruffalo. Take that.
Chris Evans. Ben Affleck.
Scarlett Johansson. I can't think of any more.
Take that, Tim Robbins.
Let's see. David Poland at the Movie City News says, Mark Webb's Amazing Spider-Man films are quite unlike the other major box office comic efforts so far, and they say that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Guts, charisma, and inventiveness. That's what the Amazing Spider-Man 2 does. Sorry, better than other superhero movies, says Eric Davis of Movies.com. And there's a few negatives, like...
Kyle Smith of the New York Post says, all I heard was the sound of paychecks being cashed by everyone going through the motions for this perfunctory sequel. It's as much computer program as movie.
Oh.
Kyle.
He's having a bad day. How about this guy, Luke Thompson from The Topless Robot, says, there's an incredible 40-minute 3D IMAX sizzle reel hidden somewhere within this two-hour-plus misfire, he says.
Jeez, Luke.
So
that's an angry... Some people have angry photos to go along with their reviews.
He's way pissed. And some of them use a picture of the dude for their photo, like Felix Vasquez Jr. from Cinema Crazed.
Right.
But on the whole, large portion of people saying this is the Spider-Man movie to beat ever. Like, this is the best one they've ever put out. So
nice.
I mean, I'm excited. That'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen the first one yet. I probably should. I'll watch that tonight. How about that? I have it on Blu-ray. Just haven't watched it.
I like that there's already people posting quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
quotes from the movie?
Like, yeah, Peter Parker / Spider-Man. Quote, I made a choice.
That's the quote?
That's the quote. That's so underneath all the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, people can post, I guess, their favorite lines from the movie. I don't know.
All right, look, if it's the Big Lebowski and you type, I take comfort in that. I mean, that's a line that you'll never forget, and it has iconic meaning. But we haven't had time to let that happen to Spider-Man yet.
No, it's really bizarre.
It is. You do never know where that stuff's going to come from. Like Hail Hydra, no one thought that was happening. Like that whole Hail Hydra thing with...
With Captain America and S.H.I.E.L.D. and
the whole thing. Like, who would have known? But who did it? Who was the big joke, though? That was Gary Shandling doing it, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Harold Hydra.
Yeah,
yes.
Where the whole meme came from. No one knew that was going to be a meme.
No, not at all.
So I don't think you can say that Peter Parker saying, I made a choice, has any impact on anything.
No.
That's stupid. Anyway, well, good luck to them. Yeah. Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Is the most influential person in the world, according to this. This according to what magazine is this? Hold on here. We're going to pull this up. This according to Time Magazine. Oh, Time Magazine.
Time again. Wow.
Yeah, well, they mentioned Nerdtacular here shortly ago. Uh-huh. Beyonce doesn't sit at the table, just sit at the table. She builds a better one, they say. Today she sits at the head of the boardroom table at Parkwood Entertainment. Beyonce has sold out. What? Has sold out the Mrs. Carter World Tour show while being a full-time mother. Is she really the most influential person on the planet?
If Oprah's relinquished her crown, then I guess so.
But was she ever too? Like, why is it only entertainment people? Think about that. It's not. Somebody else has to be more influential than this. You know what I mean?
Who influences you? Like, who is who would you say is the most influential person?
Well, see, this is the problem.
Yeah.
If see, I was really into Beyonce,
sure.
Then I guess maybe I'd say Beyonce, but I'm not really into her, so I'm really into other things. Like, people that influence me more are maybe, I don't know. Actually, who influences me now? You've just blown my mind. Nobody does. Let me think about that. Well, I mean, I there are plenty of people to admire. They're doing cool work or whatever.
Sure.
But it's not like I'm going, oh, man, the influence I'm having from that guy right now. I feel like those days are behind me. Like when Mort Drucker was influencing me every minute of the day.
Right.
Or, you know,
Don Martin,
Bill Watterson or Don Martin or... Yes, like all my heroes and stuff are still heroes to me, but they're still either kicking or gone, and I'm kind of done being influenced.
Ulrich says Hodor.
Hodor.
Hodor's second most influential person, according to Time magazine.
Really? He didn't say that.
No.
I thought you were serious. I was about to call Christian and go, dude, you see Time magazine? What's going on over there? And he'd probably spell the F word with two O's. That's how he says it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whenever you talk to him, it's nice. Like he's not even swearing. It's the funniest thing. Anyway, it's fine. And I'm sure there are plenty of fans. And I think I don't have any problems with Beyonce necessarily.
No.
Calling her the most influential person in the world? I don't know.
Just, well, because, you know, I guess she's balancing a career with being a mother and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean,
I'm with a lot you. Of people who do that, though.
Yes, I know.
My sister Wendy does that. She's influential in some ways. I guess maybe I if you're asking me who's more of an influence on me right now, it's more Wendy than it is Beyonce.
Sure.
Beyonce's got okay, let me ask you a question, Brian, and then I'll put this to rest.
Okay, all right.
Do you think Beyonce, who has more money than I'll never ever know how to spend, do you think she's just going, "Sorry guys, I'm going to go home and spend nothing but time with the kid." She's got a billion nannies and 100 people looking after that kid all day long. I guarantee it. You can't go on world tour without it. So that's great to go. She's somehow balancing her work life with her mother life is kind of not being exactly honest.
Right.
She's got a lot of
help. You
can't
be a full-time mother and go on a world tour.
Yeah, give me a break. That doesn't work that way. And again, props, man. Way to go. You're talented as hell. You're totally amazing on stage. Like, all that stuff's true. We people worship. You know what? We're like the ancient Romans. We've gotten to that point already.
Mm-hmm.
We're just people worshiping now.
Just a bunch of false gods.
Yeah. Yep. It's like a big cow on my shoulder in the wilderness, man. Out there in the 40 years in the desert. And I'm worshiping a cow now.
Right.
All right. Good stuff. Let's take it to a break. Before we do, tweakedaudio.com sponsoring the show. Go over there. You know the deal and the drill. Go to tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next pair of fantastic, compatible, lifetime warrantied earbuds. Engineered for quality, durability, and style. That's tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here. We're going to talk about this Comixology dust up.
Yeah.
The Star Wars news that came out, and also this Justice League news breaking just happened.
Cool. Oh, very cool.
So we'll get to all that in a minute. Before all that, music.
All right. Well, this one's going out to Gregory. Let's see here. Hello, Brian and Scott. I would like to make a request for Monday, April 28th. My lovely girlfriend, Adrienne, will be celebrating her 21st birthday today, and I would like to request a cover of I Believe in a Thing Called Love, originally by The Darkness. It's an odd choice, but it's our song, and I know it'd be really sweet if it made it onto The Morning Stream. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. Love you. Oh, I love you, Adrienne. Happy birthday. P.S. May I, and this is separate, this one's for you, actually. May I please get a We Got Scooters soundboard clip?
Oh, of
Thanks,
course.
Scott, says Gregory C. Cooley.
Of course they can.
We got scooters. We got scooters.
There you go, just for you. It's been too long, too long.
It's been too long. But, you know, it's been so long I'd forgotten about how, you know, the other one starts up for We Got Scooters, like, halfway through the first one. That's awesome.
And the whole DBI thing, there's so much of that we don't play anymore. But yeah, thanks for reminding
get
us.
Get a DBI.
Yeah.
All right. So this is, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. I asked Scott earlier if we'd play this version before, and I'm surprised we haven't because I love this version. It's by a group called Branches. This came out a couple of years ago on their Bandcamp album, which is just called Covers, and you can find it over there at soundslikebranches.bandcamp.com. This is their cover of The Darkness's I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
All righty then. Let's play it now. When we come back, we'll talk to Steven. So everybody hang out and be cool, and we'll be right back. All right, all right, all right. All right.
Can't explain all the feelings that you're making me feel. My heart's in overdrive and you're behind the steering wheel. Touching you, touching me, touching you, oh, you're touching me. Believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun goes down. I believe in a thing called love. Every minute, every hour, every day. You got me in a spin, but everything is A-okay. Touching you, touching me, touching you, oh, you're touching me. A thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun goes down. I believe in a thing called love. Oh. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun goes down. And I believe in a thing called love. Oh. I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. There's a chance we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun goes down. I believe in a thing called love. Oh.
Skinny sticklets, fat with flavor. See how skinny, taste how fat.
Only one gum gives you 9 slim sticklets instead of 7 wide ones in a regular pack. New sticklets in natural spearmint or peppermint.
Skinny sticklets, fat with flavor. See how skinny, taste how fat.
It's the back door for us.
Do dogs have brains? Because I'd like seriously wanted to know. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Never liked that song because of the whole... I mean, it's okay. And I don't want to diminish their song, right? Because it's their song.
Right.
But that whole, I believe in a thing called love. Like, they got to do that whole like Kramer original thing together at the beginning.
Oh, I see. Like, jamming the second verse.
Yeah, and the original is way more egregious at that than that version. Right. But I don't know why. It's just always gotten under my nerves. Okay, everyone. How about it's time with Steven now? How about that?
Yes.
I'm not going to complain. Whoops. Ah. There's got to be a better way than that.
Ooh, Joey Image says that he just had spinal surgery this weekend. He's stuck in bed for 6 to 8 weeks.
This is true.
Yeah, Joey, hope you're doing better, man. Yeah. We're pulling for you.
Yeah, that sucks. I was going to mention that, and I'm glad you said that because I'd kind of forgotten. But yeah, Joey had major spinal... Well, he's a wrestler, man. It's what he does. Mm-hmm. He's been through some stuff. So think of him while you're eating your taco. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, we're gonna do a theme here for our good buddy Steven. Got a little sad at the end. I didn't mean for that to happen. Steven Schleicher.
Sorry, Steven, we're out of time, but we'll see.
Hi, Steven. Are you there? Oh, is he not there?
Oh.
Oh, no. He's muted. Steven, you are mute. I know. I think he can hear us. And I can see him. But he don't hear us. No, I don't hear him.
Hey, Peter. Hold on. Let's see.
Well, I don't know what to do there. Steven, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Yeah. Here, I'll just ask. Can you hear us? There's a problem when we don't have a producer like in another room prepping calls,
right,
you know.
Chewing up, right.
I think we're lucky it works ever.
You're gonna be on in 5. We're gonna cue you in.
Yeah. Don't ask.
Here's the green room. Let me get your questions for you.
Don't say,
is there anything you don't want to talk about?
Don't say anything about Brian's baldness or whatever. He doesn't like that. Well,
that's what I loved about the Larry Sanders Show, is getting that kind of behind the scenes stuff of like,
hello.
Oh, hi. Hey, whoa.
Sorry. I had my computer just crashed right before you guys called.
Oh.
So I've been trying to rapidly close down as many programs as I could.
So yeah,
I get for trying to do some high end compositing work.
Nah, it's all good, man. No stress. Ooh, I hear myself though.
Yes.
Let's.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I don't hear an echo back from you
sports
guys.
Fans.
Oh,
there we go.
Now it's gone.
Gone. Okay.
Yeah, I fixed it. That was weird. That may have just been Skype catching up to the rest of the world. Who knows?
Stupid Skype.
Steven, it's so good to have you on.
This Skype RT or whatever it is.
Skype RT. Oh yeah, the the business one.
FTX.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it's going to work for me. Oh wow, thanks, hon.
Skype Texas.
I'm worried about it because. Is it just going to be a paid for? What kind of guarantees do I get? And I'll,
it's like go to meeting, but with the Skype Microsoft brand, so you know it's got to be quality.
I'm tenuous.
You're gonna make me blow my coffee out through my nose saying stuff like that, Steven.
Yeah, I'm a little tenuous on the whole thing.
Oh, you know what? Also make you blow your coffee out your nose. Give it.
What's that?
What's that?
Comixology.
Oh, let's talk about that, dude. So
segue.
Hold on. Hang on, this thing's being fruity. There we go.
Microphone issue. That's there, yeah.
Something's up.
Yeah. Turn that off.
I don't think it's you. I think it's me. So let's do talk about Comixology. It's been all the rage the last couple of days, and our good friend Jerry Conway is kind of kicking up a little dirt too with his blog post, and got a lot of people retweeting it.
He's not wrong in his comment.
He's not at all. Here's the thing. He's just passionate about it, and some people take that for unabashed maybe Apple love or something, but. There's also a lot of other kind of interesting counterpoints going on right now. But basically, to give people kind of an update, Steven, what has happened? What did Comixology do? We know about the purchase of Amazon, but right. what has happened lately that's got everybody in a stink?
So over the weekend, if you opened up the Comixology app, you were said, hey, there's a brand new app. Go download it now. And so everybody rushed out and downloaded it. And suddenly when they reopened the Comixology app, they discovered, oh, I can no longer make in-app purchases, which was something that we had talked about on the most recent Comic Dorks. And a lot of people were asking, well, when is Amazon going to yank the in-app purchases on the iOS devices? And the answer was this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us held out hope they weren't going to do it.
Well, I thought it was going to be within the next 6 months, mm-hmm. but Comixology went ahead and did it sooner. So apparently this deal is done.
The
sale is complete and they're already under their new overlords.
And the way it works for me is I have auto updates on my iPad. So I just get new apps as I get them. And I open that. I launched that thing and there were two things that were real notable there. One is anything you had downloaded is gone. So
yes,
it's just
to resync it.
Yeah, there's nothing there. So I had all these comics in there. I had one I was right in the middle of, a big collection, X-Men collection, that I was right dead center of, and it's gone.
It's not gone. You just have to redownload.
Right. I just have to go get it again. But also where I was, and I kind of lost my place. It was all very disconcerting. So if I was a user with somewhat less understanding of what had been happening behind the scenes, I would have been kind of freaked out.
Freaking out, yeah. Where's all my stuff?
There's all the stuff I've spent hundreds of dollars here or whatever, and it was gone. And then all that was there was nothing there except for a message saying, open our new app or download our new app. So you hit this button in the existing app. That took you to the store where you got the new app. Which right now has got like a star or something. Yeah, like people are ticked.
I think it's less than a star. I think it's like half a star.
Yeah. So I download
over,
that thing.
Over 100 people.
Right, right, right. So I download that thing. I get it down. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, so anything I've already purchased, I can re-download there and get. And I don't have to go to the site to do any of that. So anything I've already bought, no problem. But as you're reading around, let's say you're finishing a comic, an issue that you already purchased, and I get to the end of it, and this is where one of my problems comes in. Now, I don't have that impulse buy option to say, yep, I want the next one. I want to pay $1.99 to get the next issue right now.
Yeah.
I have to go to the store. I got to do all this stuff. Now, the argument on their side is, well, we don't want to pay. You know, Amazon is just not in this business of paying Apple 30% and them getting 70% of any app in-app purchases, which in this case would be these issues. And so it's like they already want their 30% that they're getting through their ecosystem. And they don't want to be doing a storefront through a storefront through a storefront. So I kind of get that. But the loss here is this huge base of people who are used to making impulse buys, finding a weird issue of something they'd never heard of before, discovering something and going, yep, I'm going to spend $8 on this collection. That's now kind of no longer there. You've got to kind of know what you want to get, and you got to go to the site to do it first. And that sucks. And Steven's gone. We lost him.
Oh, no. We heard the clicking.
Oh, now he's back. Oh, he's sort of there. Hello?
I think you got to shorten your cable.
Yeah. Something like that. There's something going on. Hello? Are you there? Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, boy.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
It's on the ground. The Germans have attacked. We're trying to find out what's happening.
That probably doesn't sound good.
Oh, much better. Much better. Are you there now?
I'm going to go to the shit in my... Yeah, I am. You guys hear me?
Hold on a second.
So much for this microphone. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Technica.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
There we go.
Can you still hear me?
Yep.
All right, so let me ask you this. The browsability, I think, is the thing that kills this the most in this whole decision, because it means that a lot of smaller publishers aren't going to be discovered anymore, or it's going to be very difficult to find these smaller publishers that are releasing some great content. The other question is, did Amazon do this simply to secure their Kindle device?
You mean make it the default, the de facto place where you're going to download whatever content you're going to download?
Yes, exactly.
That's a really good point. I mean, obviously they want to be Apple in the sense that they want to be a distribution point for content, and they want to reap the benefits of that both monetarily and also just kind of mind share of what devices do what things. A lot of people like Tom Merritt have been flaunting the fact that he's got a Nexus 7, and there's no change there. You just, you know, download the comics because nobody's taking that 30%, right? So they get the full, they get the full amount. There is no split. I mean, my bigger issue is so much with the App Store thing isn't that it's fair or unfair to get 30%. I mean, Amazon does the same thing. So to say that Apple's being greedy because they get their 30% is disingenuous, because so is Amazon. Amazon's doing the exact same thing. They're just pulling it over into their ecosystem, their walled garden, and it's really not that different. The big difference is you've got a huge user base that have been loyal customers that are now kind of left out in the cold.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not a big fan of that, especially if it boils down to, well, our Kindle, we need to try to protect our Kindle. So the way to do it is to get people to dump their iPad, which people aren't going to. They're just going to stop reading comics. So this is really bad for the comics industry as a whole.
Right.
But there is, and I'll give you one shining light. If anyone has downloaded the Marvel app or the DC Comics app or the Image Comics app, those are all developed by Comixology. Those, as of about 30 minutes ago, are still allowing in-app purchases of those companies' titles.
Well, I'm sure they have a deal with them. It's like you can't necessarily pull out of those licensing deals.
Right.
So who knows when those lapse and when this all goes away, but I'm not real confident that those are just going to remain.
Well, I'm not either, but for now, if people are still looking for a way to get those big three, you can do that. Of course, Dark Horse is not part of the Comixology app. They've had their own in-app purchases for years with their own standalone. But I guess the thing that was nice about Comixology was that everybody was under one roof. It was like going into a comic book store. You had that browsability, and now it's gone. And there's nothing that indicates that you can buy anything through the Amazon.com website in this fashion and have it sent to via the WhisperNet sent to your Comixology account. So this makes it even more difficult for people to get comics, and I'm very disappointed in this move.
It's a really It's a bad move. It's a bad precedent. It's also just a step back for the momentum that digital comics have been having for a while. And while people could say, well, it's just the one format, it's the leading format.
Exactly.
It's the giant format. You can pretend all day that, like, look, I think Android's fine, but if you're an Android lover, this may seem like a big victory to you. It's not. This is a huge loss for you, too, because what it means is the prominent format. Huge percentage of people have iPads compared to Nexus 7s or anything else. Huge, enormous percentage. And especially if you get like fire sales, they're not even close. So if you thought that this somehow was going to be a boon for you, maybe long-term trickle down, maybe. But in the end, that's not why people buy iPads in the first place. You've got that giant ecosystem that now those people are being disserviced, and they've got to jump through 50 million hoops, many of which just plain won't do it.
Well, and this really goes against Bezos's main tenet of put the customer first, invent, and then be patient. Put the first, invent, and be patient. And instead, he's putting Amazon first, really kind of screwing over the customers, and in because somebody's not patient over what's going on. And the worst time to do it is the week leading up to Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, and wow! Didn't even make that connection. Holy
I was thinking about that.
Major. Idiotic move.
Yeah, it's bad because all that impulse purchasing again is now hindered by this process. And for me, I mean, okay, I'm going to look at. So here's where I find a bright spot in all this. Okay, it's actually possible for me to find something good to say about this. And the good thing to say about it would be this: one of the things I like about the Marvel Unlimited program,
right,
is it is a straight up subscription service,
right?
And once you subscribe, there are no in-app purchases, so nobody loses on that front. You can do all the impulse reading you want because it's all just there for the taking.
Right.
This may signal, I hope, the potential of, and we've talked about it a bunch, you and I before, on other shows and things, but this idea of a subscription service in the Comixology
app. They do have that. You can do a subscription service or a recurring payment for any title that you want. So I've got recurring payments for like Batman and the Flash, All-Star Western, and some others that every week it says, hey, your new app is available for download.
Which is cool, but what I need them to do is extend that out to be a big all-you-can-eat buffet.
Get everything for $60 a month.
Or whatever it is. Whatever that price is, and hopefully it's a fair one, but it's one where you can just get what you want to get. Yeah. Then it's, well, I sign up once on a site, and then the app just does what I need it to do. Then I kind of can back off all this, and I'm not that worried about it. But the bigger disappointment in all this for me is mostly that Comixology comes out with a statement after the purchase going, we're still that company interested in putting, you know, digital comics at the forefront and pushing this medium and helping the entire industry and helping indies and all this stuff. Suddenly, they don't look like that's really what they mean.
Yeah, that's kind of like a Lucasfilm coming out and saying, hey, we're still the same Lucasfilm even after Disney purchases us. And then this week they suddenly say, oh, you know all that expanded universe continuity crap? Yeah, we're doing away with that completely.
Let's talk about that. So Star Wars, all the new continuity stuff got announced, or at least new novels and things. But what does that actually mean for people who are into Star Wars?
It basically means everything that is not the Star Wars movies, Attack of the Clones, Star Wars Rebels, the new upcoming show, and the few books that tie directly into the Star Wars films, everything else is gone. So Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, all of the stuff that people have loved for generations. And there are hundreds and hundreds of books that are now non-canonical, meaning that they're not part of the expanded universe. Only G-canon, the stuff that George worked on, is the stuff that actually matters. And that's the way it's going to be going forward. And go ahead, Brian.
A couple questions on this. So does that mean Shadows of the Empire as well is considered?
I believe that's the case.
And does this kill off Boba Fett? Because it was the expanded universe that pulled him out of the Sarlacc pit, wasn't it?
If that ties directly into the Star Wars films, then it would still be around. But we don't know the fate of Boba Fett in the future movies. So I think the main reason for doing this, according to the press release that Lucasfilm set out, is that expanded universe, let's see, it's not being discarded. Creators of the new Star Wars Entertainment have full access to the rich content of the expanded universe. Elements of the EU are included in Star Wars Rebels. The Inquisitor, the Imperial Security Bureau, the Sinar Fleet Systems are story elements in the new animated series. Those will continue going forward. But I think the main reason they did it is because all the future stories, things that take place after Return of the Jedi, Lucasfilm or Disney felt that this was restricting and potentially spoiling the direction of the new movies coming up, which, again, people could point to J.J. Abrams and said, well, J.J. Abrams could have worked in the original Star Trek universe, but he couldn't do that, so they changed it and made a whole new universe for him to play in, and now they're doing the same thing with Star Wars.
I don't know why they have to tell us. That's my weird thing about this. Why do they even have to say anything? Just well, do what you're going to do anyway.
If they're going to do something that is non-canon in the movies, then it's going to the outrage, the nerd outrage is going to be huge. Oh, yeah. how are you doing this when such and such was already decided that this was something else, right?
Right. Yeah.
So no Thrawn, no TIE Fighter series, none of that stuff.
Han Solo and Stars End, what?
Yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Weekend was terrible for popcorn.
It really kind of was, right? Okay, but let's get to the third thing, which I know we weren't going to talk about, but I really want to know this late breaking stuff on the Justice League movie. We got Zack Snyder announced as director. Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else that we know?
We don't know anything else. I mean, we know that Gal Gadot is playing Wonder Woman. We know that Batman is in there with Ben Affleck. We know that a cyborg character was cast last week. We kind of knew that the Justice League movie was coming, but with Zack Snyder being named as the director, it ties into that the Man of Steel sequel, Batman versus Superman, is going to lead right into the Justice League movie, possibly being filmed back to back. And my guess is that Warner Brothers is not going to stop with just two movies being filmed back to back. They're going to go the Peter Jackson route, and we're going to get three movies coming out a year apart.
Why are they so attaching their wagon to Zack Snyder so hardcore like this?
Well, you know, he did a great job with 300. I mean, people can argue aesthetic style.
Yeah.
People can argue aesthetic style with what he did with 300, but that was a profitable film, a super profitable film. Watchmen brought that Zack Snyder style to that film, and it was highly profitable. Yeah. A lot of people could argue that it was the name tied to it. Man of Steel, even though a lot of people don't like the storyline, was hugely popular. So why not continue on with the trend of somebody who knows how to take a story and make a lot of money out of it? It's the same reason why people are like, why is Michael Bay still attached to Transformers? Why is he still attached to, or even attached to, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Because Michael Bay movies sell.
Yeah.
And I think at this point that, you know, instead of going a different direction, unless, you know, the second Man of Steel movie really tanks, Zack Snyder is their go-to comic book guy. Now, one could argue that there are millions of people out there who could do a much better job, or even as good a job as Zack Snyder, and who understand the comic book properties, but he's just the director. He's not the one writing the story. Yeah. You know, that's completely out of his hands.
Probably Goyer again.
Yes, he is. He is attached to that.
Oh, wonderful. So he's kind of more my problem. I don't really have that big a problem with Zack Snyder's style. I think his movies are kind of cool. Most of the ones you just mentioned are awesome. But it's just interesting. You know, it's almost like Marvel Studios is putting faith in what nerds like, so they're hiring people who are already kind of big in the nerd sphere. So when you get somebody like Joss Whedon to make your Avengers movie, everybody is super positive vibes about that. It's DC's less concerned with that, it seems like. And I don't know if that hurts them in the end or not. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
Well, and I guess you have to remember that DC is not Warner Brothers.
Definitely.
As far as Warner Brothers Entertainment goes, or DC Entertainment goes, comic books are just that property that they own, and they want to try to maximize the profit that they can make in that movie universe, whether it ties back to the comics or not.
It just seems like you can do both. Look, Marvel has proven you can do both.
Well,
because Disney could look at it that way and go, oh, well, this is just a money-making vehicle for us. But they do seem to take the time it takes to satisfy that fringe hardcore demographic and the mainstream. They're doing both.
Yeah.
Why can't you do both? I would ask DC and Warner Brothers. Why couldn't that be your goal? You know?
Well,
they want that success, right?
One could argue that, I mean, there's a lot of arguments to be made about different business and management styles. And I think at this point, that's what it boils down to, is here are two very different companies with very different management styles and very different approaches to how they treat the customer and or how they view the customer. And that ultimately is driving these decisions that we as fans really dislike with a passion.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate part of it, is that you're right, Scott. If we could just focus on, well, let's listen to what the fans like. Let's bring some real comic book writers on. Let's get their take on this. Let's see if that will translate to a big screen adaptation and then go with it. I think they'd have better results. But at this point, there are billions and billions of dollars at stake here. And that's something that you just can't mess around with, a what-if idea.
Yeah, they're definitely not willing to take those risks. The risks already got taken by Marvel, and it worked. Right. And now they don't have to worry about it.
Right, exactly.
I get that. I still think it bites them in the butt in the end. I still think...
It totally does.
Yeah, because we know those risks worked. If anything, you could look at the Marvel thing and go, we just need to duplicate what they're doing, guys. We already have two of the most iconic characters in the history of the medium.
Right.
All we need to do is dupe that.
But then it becomes ego. You know, Scott, you don't want to create comics that are like somebody else. You want to do your own thing.
Yeah.
If you looked at somebody else's content and said, well, he's working. He's a millionaire doing what he's doing. I'm going to emulate exactly what he's doing. People would say, ah, Scott Johnson, you're just copying somebody else's work. And that's the problem that Warner Brothers faces right now is already people are just like, well, you're just copying what Marvel has done before.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that formula, right? I mean, look at the Zune.
Sure. Yeah, do look at the Zune as it floats down the toilet. Here's the other thing, too. It's like DC must look at Marvel and just be extra ticked because so much of Marvel's lineup, so much of their hero base are their ripoffs of DC characters. Like, you can point to a ton of them. Now, there's some going the other way, too. I know that. But there is a lot of stuff that has roots in DC that then got duplicated over there at Marvel.
Right.
Years and, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, that was happening. And now the idea that they would have to, like, somehow mimic their success in the movie space must just piss them off. You know?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
It's got to.
But maybe everybody will be happier when they announce that Matt Damon will play Aquaman in this movie.
Well, actually, that's not bad.
You laugh now, but that is the hot rumor on the
internet. That's the rumor, really?
Oh, that's awesome.
As of yesterday.
I kind of am down with that. I think that's all right. Put him and Affleck in those stupid suits running around.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Well, there you go. Comixology sucks, Star Wars sucks, and Justice League is unknown. That's your news this week for Steven's little visit. Majorspoilers.com is the place where all this stuff is being covered, and then some, plus a bunch of other I would call more positive things happening in the world of pop culture. Anything else, Steven, that people should be checking
free,
out?
Free, look at this. Amazing Spider-Man 2 Friday, free comic book day on Saturday, Star Wars, the unofficial Star Wars Day, May the 4th be with you on May 4th, and then Cinco de Mayo on May 5th. What a perfect weekend people have coming up. I hope you guys all have a 5-day weekend. You're going to need it.
Yeah, I'm going to say. It seems like it's going to be a little bit rough. Steven, always a pleasure. Major Spoilers on Twitter, everybody. Follow him. He's the man. We'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
Bye.
See you, Steven.
Speaking of free comic book day, I am doing the annual
the art thing.
Frog Pants one, yep, where you get a free print from me. And that will details on when you can sign up for it. It's 100% free. It costs you nothing. There's no hitch. There's no catch.
Shipping,
we did it last year.
No
nothing.
Handling.
None of that. You just get a print. Ugh. Doesn't matter where you are. It's totally free. Details soon. But that'll all go up very soon. All right. Let's do a little. Did all get hooked up over there, babe? Didn't work. Here, hold on. Brian, entertain the masses for 5 seconds,
right.
Will you? Tell them a joke. Hang on.
Well, I'll do Ask Me Anything. Ask Me Anything. And I know there's a few second delay, so we're going to wait. Although, by the time Scott gets back, this probably will be done for. But hopefully, let's see.
Can you hear Brian? You will in a sec. Okay, yep. I'm back.
Oh, see, didn't even have time to get to one of them.
Oh, man. It's too bad. All right, let's see how this works. Hi, honey, you there?
Hi.
Oh, hello. How are
Not
you?
Even one joke, huh, Brian?
Yeah.
Not even one joke.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Did you have one, though? Did you have
one? But the punchline would have been quinoa.
Finally, nice. Quinoa gets its day. So, hey, Kim, what's going on over there?
Hey, nothing much.
Your sister's in St. George. Yes. What happened there?
She just, her kids are off track, and she decided to take them sit by a pool.
Brian, did you ever have year-round school there? Not year-round. Yeah, year-round versus the nine-month thing, or is it all 9 months?
No,
no.
Traditional.
As far as I know, it's all 9 months here.
So I feel like when people around here say off track, like nobody knows what the heck we're talking about.
They've lost their mind.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a whole method here to deal with like as many kids as there are in Utah. They split these things up so you have year-round school and
you have four tracks per school per year.
And you have weird breaks, right?
So the kids still go for 9 months, but 3 months after one group starts, another group starts, and they'll end 3 months after group one.
Right, so
kind
it's
of thing.
So 9 weeks on, 3 weeks off.
Weird. Gotcha. Weird.
So they end up with really short summers sometimes.
Oh, that's not confusing at all.
We had none of this as kids growing up. I have no idea what this must feel like.
Our kids were in it for a little while, but not for very long.
Yeah. But there you go. That's not important, though. What matters is what we're eating, right?
Yeah. What did you like your breakfast burrito?
I haven't eaten it yet because I can't. I don't want to masticate on air with this beautiful burrito. But so in this thing, we've got. Is this a special kind of tortilla or is this
no,
a straight up?
It's an uncooked tortilla. I cooked it, so it's like nice and soft.
Those are the best.
But I did put rice and kale and scrambled eggs and avocado in yours.
Raw kale? Is that raw kale?
I cooked it with the eggs. So it's like sauteed.
Because raw kale gives you the... but that looks really nice, honey. That's lovely. I wanted to actually speak to kale real quick this week while you're here. Speak to kale. Could you have some kale I can speak to?
While I'm here.
It's funny because since I've started kind of re-establishing what my normal diet is and what staple foods I intake, and I eat a lot of
we've been reinvented rice. Scott's menu. Yeah.
It's weird because the things I used to crave, sugary, fatty, meat stuff, mm-hmm. I don't crave that anymore.
I like that sugary, fatty meat.
Sugary, fatty meat.
Love that sugary meat.
That was my rap name in 1992. didn't do very well as sugary, fatty meat. Anyway, so...
Yeah, it kind of curbs all the...
It's changed that, so I don't have the cravings for the sweet stuff. I mean, occasionally it's like, oh, I'd love a little whatever, but it's the weird... what's more weird is the things, not so much that I don't crave, but the things I do crave now. Mm-hmm. I used to hate kale. To me, it was like...
Dandelion.
Yeah, like eating leaves. Grass. It just was too thick and too earthy and I don't know what.
Which, by the way, people cook with that too. But anyway.
Do they cook with what? Earth?
Dandelion.
Oh, dandelions.
Dandelion.
We watched a turtle eat those yesterday. That was weird. Anyway. Also, I need somebody in the audience to tell us what pyramiding on a turtle means. What does that mean? Is that bad?
Pyramiding on a turtle. I have no idea.
Turtle pyramiding. Because that was something we saw on that turtle yesterday, and somebody on Twitter said that was bad, and I'd like to know why. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry. Back to the thing.
Back to the kale.
Back to the kale. I think kale's because, so good now. I love it.
But I think you crave less of the other things because you've been off them for so long. I don't think it's because of the kale or any of the good food you've been eating.
Like my heroin addiction when I gave that up. When you gave that up,
you didn't crave it anymore. Good job, babe.
But I really crave, I crave kale. I crave rice. I crave things I used to hate. Like, have you ever told me back in the day, what are we having tonight? Oh, rice with a little something on it. Not interested.
Sauteed kale on top.
That sounds awesome. Awful. Now, sauteed kale on a big pile of rice sounds heavenly to me.
What do you think, Brian?
Oh, sounds, are you eating kale? I'm not eating kale, no. I mean, I've had kale. I don't know about sauteed. The rice part does sound good right now, though. I don't know why.
That's weird. But,
I'll make you a burrito. Bring it right
there
on over.
There you go. Great. I know. See, that's the thing.
Is this has rice in it? Oh, yeah, it does. Okay, yeah, I'll be eating that.
Avocado in there?
Yeah.
Maybe I do the kale if you have the avocado and the...
you got to do it right.
Yeah, right.
Did you make your asparagus the other day? That was way under question.
I did, yes. Thank you, and thanks for the recipe.
No problem.
Came out good. The only problem, Tina, was a little bit late getting home, so it was starting to get soft in the pan. I didn't want to overcook it, so I put the oven on low and just put it in there, thinking that might keep it warm without further cooking. Still made a little bit mushy, but...
Yeah,
it's still really, really tasty really though. Good. The sauteing.
Isn't there a very specific middle point with asparagus being good? From
right,
there's a firm.
Like too crispy is undercooked, but then over mushy, and you've basically got asparagus soup.
And if you nail that middle bit, it's so freaking good. Mm-hmm. But you go any foods like that are crazy to me. I don't know how people deal with them, but the foods where there's just a perfect state, and then anything to the left or right, and you've blown it. I couldn't. That's why
I'm
I don't cook.
Blowing it, but yeah,
well,
I know.
Blow
what you
it,
mean,
but
yeah.
You're like, oh, these aren't as good as they could have been.
If it's undercooked, that's so much worse because then it's kind of chewy and stocky and.
Yeah, you feel like you're. So, I don't like that.
A little overcooked.
That's
is
when
actually
your pee
better.
Smells. When your pee smells. Why does it make your pee smell? By
I'm
the way,
I'm not really sure. I think
that's
it's
a
just
genetic thing because it doesn't do that for everybody.
Yeah,
it used to not do it for me, but this last batch you made totally did it for me.
That's the combination of the sauteed kale now.
That's what it is.
Also, I don't mean to be all over the map here, but didn't you and I discuss this the other day that my hair is not thinner, but more...
It's finer.
I have finer hair now, Brian. Like
he's changed his diet and his...
I quit eating so much meat, my hair's gotten finer. And it happened quickly, like within a month.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, really?
I feel like all that meat I used to eat...
Well, yeah, it's probably the change in your diet for sure.
Protein mm-hmm. will do that.
Yeah.
Thin hair.
Be the other way around, though. You've been healthier.
Protein deficiency, it says, will affect your hair. But I've been eating lots of chicken. Lots of turkey.
Mm. Not a, I wouldn't say a lot.
Well, not a lot, but as some. Much as I ever ate beef before.
Yeah.
I mean, beef's the only real thing I've taken up, beef and pork.
And pork, yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there, but I'm looking at a million Google results here that all say how, you know, how your diet can, your diet with specifically protein, how much hair you're going to have and how much it grows, how quickly it grows.
I don't see a whole lot of bald vegans, but whatever.
Well, wait, like Moby. Moby's a bald vegan. Isn't he, Brian?
That's by choice, though, still.
He is a bald vegan.
He is a bald
even
vegan.
He even has a bald vegan restaurant in New York.
Does he really? Yeah. The bald party
the
bald leaves vegan. Out, though. The bald vegan.
Yes, the bald vegan.
That's great. It's his new album coming out soon. and then you made, this week you made an incredible batch of jambalaya, which still exists upstairs.
A large batch of jambalaya.
It, that yeah, stuff is amazing.
Yeah, you just so got, you make so much that it's just great for leftovers. Tina does the same thing. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, we actually took dinner over to a couple of friends, different friends who, well, one of them, their wife was out of town. So I took dinner over and then I took some to someone else and then we had some. We still have such a large amount left over.
I'm not complaining. I'll it's keep a eating lot it. Of, to me, it's miracle
it's
food.
Yeah, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it works.
It's got everything you need in there. It even it's got your chicken. It's got your
got
proteins.
Your chicken.
You got all this rice. You got all. It's just the perfect food. I could eat it all day, and I never feel gross when I eat it. I can eat a ton of it and still feel fine. I can eat it for four meals in a row and still feel great. I don't know That's what's good. Going on in there, but way to go, the South.
way to go.
So with Sarah gone, no new podcast this week, but probably next week, right?
Right. She won't be back till the weekend.
But if you haven't caught up on the episode, you guys should be checking those out. Frogpants.com/geekfood has a link to the show and you can hear it.
Yeah. The blog has Nick's getting his stuff up from when he worked with us.
Oh, yeah. For a school thing.
And then this week I'm going to be doing some barbecue. Ooh. We're finally getting some good weather. It's going to be sunny all week.
Barbecue what?
Chicken.
Good.
But we're doing it with, I'm going to try a 7-Up one. Brian, have you ever worked with sodas and your meats?
Just the Dr. Pepper chicken, like where you do the beer butt chicken, but you do it with a can of Dr. Pepper instead.
Yeah.
I've done that and I've heard of people using Dr. Pepper and the only reason I haven't tried it is just because we were trying other things, but using Dr. Pepper as a glaze for a pork shoulder.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds lovely.
I've done it on a beef. Unless you're the pig. A roast before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it turned out really good. It's kind of sweetens the meat, but the pork,
so why,
I need to try
Why 7-Up? What's the deal with that?
I just wanted to try that one. It's a 7-Up with soy sauce, garlic powder. And you just make a marinade for the chicken and grill it.
And will you put that somewhere so people can read about it?
I will.
Tweet it.
I will tweet it.
All right. Geek Food on Twitter, everybody. Geek Food or The Geek Food?
The Geek Food
on
Twitter.
Love Geek Food on Twitter. I hate Twitter because all these names are taken. What are you going to do?
And all those names are taken.
They are. All the good names are taken.
We're The Geek Food.
You got to put The in front of everything, like The Diablo Show. I know how this feels.
The real Geek Food.
Yeah, the real Geek Food. That's right. Let's get you verified.
So yeah, there you go. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Cool. When are you going to do that? This weekend? This week?
Yeah.
All right.
This week, not this weekend. Hmm. I wanted to try a Coke one too, but I wasn't sure. If you wanted all the caffeine.
Kim wants to finally try Coke. You guys heard it here first.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You've got our address. Send us
some Coke.
I did try a cilantro lime chicken that did not have soda in it, but sounds good that you could put maybe some 7-Up in there and make it a little sweeter.
Gosh, yeah.
That one was really good.
Yeah, sounds the sweetness really with the cilantro would probably be really, really good together. Yeah.
Share it with the world is all we're asking.
Share it? I will. I'll get some pictures of it.
The Geek Food on Twitter. Geek Food and The Geek Food on Instagram and their show on the Frog Pants Network. You can also find it on the Mega Feed there, so you can subscribe to that on iTunes and hear it that way. Kim, it's always a pleasure to talk to my own wife.
Oh, well, thank you.
No problem. Always we'll talk good. To you soon.
See you, Brian.
Bye. Ya. Can't wait to eat this burrito. All right. That's not going to happen for another couple of minutes because we're going to read a couple of emails brought to you by...
Brought to you by the TMS mugs. Get your morning started proper with a genuine mug from the Morning Stream. Available right now at frogpants.com/store.
And our privately branded coffee coming soon.
Yeah.
Watch
Taste tested, nerd approved.
That's right. We've all done our job. Now we just got to get the stuff and get it going. We'll let you know when it gets here. All right. Hey, Steak and Beans. You guys are talking about how the Avengers were third level superheroes. I did a quick search to find the female equivalent of male superheroes. Needless to say, there are some doozies in there. Here is that, and there is one more twist. I don't know what he means by that, but he says, love the snowplow or something like that. Bernie. So Bernie sent this link.
Okay.
These are female versions of male characters, and this isn't just making it up. This is them.
Oh, so like the Supergirl and stuff like that, right?
Okay. Correct. So there's the Abominatrix, which is the Abomination again. Okay. Basically, the Aberration is another version of the Abomination.
Wow.
Which is like the anti-Hulk thing, right? Like the whatever it is.
Right.
Aftershock is the female Electro.
Okay.
Agony is Venom, essentially. I would actually say more.
I remember more Carnage.
Yeah, more Carnage than Venom. I don't know, maybe not. Akasha Martinez is the Living Pharaoh. Okay. Ghost Rider Jones is a girl.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of these are kind of interesting.
I remember some of these. Yeah.
There's an Ultron equivalent robot lady. There's a American.
There was a couple Ultron. There was one that was Janet Van Dyne from The Wasp.
Do you remember America Dream?
I do not.
She is she's basically Mr. Captain America lady. And she is in every way. Big star on her chest, shield, A on her head, everything. There's Anne Whaling, who is basically Venom. Aqua Girl is Aquaman, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Tula is Aquaman. Anyway, it's interesting. Thanks for that. It's a cool link. I didn't realize there were so many. There's a Lady Octopus, a Doc Ock ripoff.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally remember that. And some of these are the daughters of the characters. Like Siren is Banshee's daughter.
Mm.
And the one you mentioned earlier, Kraven. Oh, I guess you didn't mention Kraven, but his daughter took on the new Kraven.
Right.
It's funny.
It's an odd thing.
It is an odd thing,
To give the...
My God, but this list is...
It's huge.
Ginormous.
Yeah, it's over at comicvine.com if you guys want to read it. Thanks, Bernie, for sending that. Hello, gentlemen. Robert E. from Oklahoma, longtime writer and first-time listener, wondering with all the talk about the Avengers and Captain America that y'all been doing. I was wondering, or wondering is what he said, how you guys think they should handle either Avengers or Captain America and Fantastic Four meetups. In other words, all three movies together.
Oh,
would they just do cut scenes between the Captain and Johnny Storm or never show them together? Well, here's the answer. Johnny Storm's getting played by a new dude in the new movies. So this whole problem goes away.
Well, and it's and they're still handled by separate movie studios. So there's not going to be a Fantastic Four crossover or X-Men or Spider-Man crossover.
Yeah. The closest you're going to get is you're going to get Quicksilver in both X-Men this year and Avengers
and
2.
Avengers next year. Yeah.
Yeah. And neither actor is the same and they're different. So, and one's a mutant, one can't be called a mutant. It's all very weird.
Right. It's very distressing.
Ken wrote in, says, Scott, do you realize you proclaimed kombucha is for douchebags on TMSPM and then drank some the following Monday morning? I can't wait for the episode where you claim you've always hated Waterworld, but have no idea what Brian is talking about. Don't ever change, Ken. I need to clear this up. Kombucha is indeed for douchebags. That hasn't changed. I'm just a douchebag. That's all.
Right.
It's nothing changed.
And really, you didn't say it. Somebody wrote in and said, true or false, kombucha is for douchebags.
And I said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't proclaim it. Correct. You just agreed with somebody else who proclaimed it.
Hey, Ken, do you realize you sent an email in saying I proclaim kombucha is for douchebags and then found out later it was the emailer who proclaimed it?
There we go. See?
All right.
Yeah.
In the end, here's the deal. I think that kombucha stuff's all right, but I still think it's for douchebags. So that's there you go. Hi, Skinny and Beanpole. Listening to the Chimbeard segment about obesity being a disease, I wanted to weigh in, he says, with a capital W. I see what he's doing there.
Nice, yeah.
I'm considering... He's like the HuffPo of emailers today. I'm considered morbidly obese, 65 pounds overweight. For people like me who have thyroid imbalances, and for those few... there are a few medical procedures and or treatments that are now covered by insurance that may not have been or may have been too expensive prior to the reclassification of obesity as a disease. Shove the YOLO, Joel, a.k.a. Night Reaper, in the tadpool. Interesting point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people write in about, like, they have some sort of condition. Like, a friend of the show, Scott Kurtz, a fellow cartoonist Scott Kurtz, has a condition that makes him as big as he is. And there's little they can do. He's tried to do whatever they can do, and they can't. It's a rare thing, and that's just the way it is. He's just going to be a big guy, and that's just the way it is. It doesn't stop people from giving him crap or giving him a hard time or calling him names on the internet. And I think it's important that people at least understand when we're talking about weight loss, we are not doing it in the face of people who are struggling with like conditions that they can't help.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. Ever. Right. Like that. Why would we do that? All I'm doing is I'm trying to do something for myself anyway. So this isn't about anyone else. It's just about me trying to be healthier. But yeah, there's your perspective. Brian, that's it.
Wow.
That's all the emails we got today. Quick update. Wendy's Kickstarter was supposed to be ready to go.
For the new show.
They declined it. They rejected it, their Kickstarter. And I found out why.
Okay.
They don't allow any self-help type things at all.
Oh,
it's all
really?
In response to those weird sex dudes that were like setting up a Kickstarter to be like love gurus or something.
So even though this is really like you're kickstarting the show,
right,
as opposed to kickstarting people getting self-help.
Right. It's really, we could probably appeal it. Instead, we're trying to think maybe another way around it. Either we retool it the way we present it, or we go to Indiegogo or something where they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet, but, that's the update. We should have had this thing launched by now. And then when we got the rejection, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I think we probably could even appeal it and win, because I think it's too broad what they're applying to this. Because it's just a show. It's an entertaining show that is about self-help, but it's got nothing to do with us building a product to self-help people. It's just a show that's where the topic is. So that's like saying, oh, we can't kickstart TMS because you guys are going to talk about celebrity stories. Well, that's just weird to me.
No, that is weird.
So anyway, that's the update on that. We'll have a solution soon, but I wanted everyone to be, I know there are a lot of people kind of chomping to help that out, and now we can't give them anything to help with yet. So
there'll be a way.
Indiegogo will probably be the
best way to do it.
Yeah. I haven't done anything over there yet, so it might be fun to check that out. And there's others like, GoFundMe.com and others that are probably just as suited for this as Kickstarter would be, but we'll let you know. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. that's it. I want to thank everybody involved with the show. Thank you all for being here. Guests, everybody else. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. And on Twitter, MorningStream. Scott Johnson, Coverville. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a swan song with a song. Swan all song.
Right. Sounds good. Right. Just getting this run ready. Hi, guys. Kim Novak, Kinenzo has a birthday. Kim Novak in the tadpole, or Kinenzo in the tadpole. Right. Has a birthday coming up on April 20th. She's one of the coolest people I've ever had the privilege of knowing, and it would be cool if you guys could wish her a happy birthday and maybe play her a song during that week. I'm sure anything you pick would be fine. Thanks. Some extra information. This year is her 50th birthday. She's the one who introduced me to the show and to podcasts in general. Some of her favorite artists are The Long Winters, Patty Griffin, Lori McKenna, Counting Crows, Better Than Ezra, and Pearl Jam. Well, I'm actually going to go with the first one right there. Let's see here. It's funny. She doesn't say her. Oh yeah, she does. Kinenzo. Mm. And I wonder if she is in, I don't see her in the tadpole today, but, hopefully she gets to listen. So she mentioned The Long Winters. This one comes from one of those great, Starbucks Hear Music CDs. This one came out way back in 2010, but they come out almost every Valentine's Day and they're really, really good. Sweetheart 2010 had this. It's a cover of ZZ Top's Gimme All Your Lovin', performed, in kind of like a indie acoustic style by the Long Winters.
Oh, wow. That sounds good to me. Let's play it. When we get here tomorrow, there'll be more stuff to talk about. So please tune in then for all other things you may need to know about what's happening with us. Go to frogpants.com and we'll see you then.
I got to have a shot. What you got, it's oh so sweet. You got to make it hard. Like a boomerang, I need a repeat. Give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. Got to whip it up and hit me like a ton of lead. if I blow my top? Will you let it go to your head? Give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. Give me all your loving and don't let up until we're through. Give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. To pack it up and work it like a newborn should. Give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. Give me all your loving and don't let up until we're through. All your hugs and kisses too. Give me all your loving. Don't let up until we're through. Until we're through.
Get a little more because it shrinks a little less.